You're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. Stand by for This Just In, the latest in healthcare innovation and technology trends with your HIT advisor, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these half-hour segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 164th episode, we have another special show dedicated to our health innovation think tank. But before we get too far into that, I'm excited to let everyone know that we'll be broadcasting the This Just In radio show again live from the HIMSS Annual Conference in Orlando on Tuesday, February 12th from 1 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. This will be our fifth year broadcasting live from the HIMSS Annual Conference, and I could not be more excited. And also many special thanks to my radio show supporters, HIMSS, Lenovo Health, Intel, Business Radio X, and certainly Healthcare Now Radio. If you're planning on coming to HIMSS, we'll be broadcasting from booth 2821, so please stop by if you're in Orlando and see the show. Always a great guest lineup, and I'll get to that here in a moment, but I promise you'll learn a lot. You'll meet some great people, always a lot of great energy and a ton of fun, so please stop by 2821. If you're going to be there, we're always centrally located on the show floor. But if you're not able to make the conference this year, you'll be able to stream our radio show live again at thisjustinradio.com. Again, that's thisjustinradio.com between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern. Last year, we had over 30,000 listeners and a ton of fun and a lot of learning. And we expect a lot more listeners and even more learning and even more fun this year. We'll have another great slate of CEO, CIO, leading care providers, industry thought leaders, riveting authors, and certainly policymakers joining the show. To name just a few, Dr. John Halamka, he's always been my very first guest every year. He's fantastic. Dr. Rashu Thresha, he's now went to Atrium Health. Paul Black, CEO of Allscripts. We'll have Anish Chopra, the first U.S. CTO reported to the President of the United States. A great guy, a great innovator. Neil Gomes, another great innovator from Thomas Jefferson University and Jeff Health. Dan Monroe, author and Forbes contributor. Author of Casino Healthcare. Ed Marks, CIO of Cleveland Clinic. And many others. Andy Bartley from Intel. But a lot of great guests. Dr. Bob Monteverdi from Lenovo Health. So again, just a great slate of guests. We're always adding more and more every day. But please make sure you stop by and hear them in person or again at thisjustinradio.com. We're broadcasting live and you can hear it there. But hopefully you can join us in some capacity. But now let's dive into today's show, highlighting more best practices and key takeaways from our latest think tank that we had a couple of months ago. We've just finished distilling down all of the best practices and the key takeaways from that event. It takes a little over a month, or actually almost 2 months now, to get all that compiled. We just have, you know, hundreds of pages of notes that come out of that, and then distilling it down into very simple, actionable intelligence that's tangible, but also very easy to understand. Complex topics explained very simply. That's the way we like to portray the think tank and a lot of our output. And today, we're going to focus on care collaboration and also innovation that really supports the future of care and where it's going. But before we dive in too far into specifically the best practices and key takeaways, for everybody that's new to learning about the think tank, here's a little bit more about the genesis. About 2 years ago, a handful of us got together in the industry and really said, you know, can we create a collaboration where we move us from collaborating in silos? For example, my silo was the EHR industry. We founded the EHR Association, had all the major players part of the association, but we tend to find ourselves collaborating amongst ourselves. This is a large group. We had over 50, 60 companies and hundreds of volunteers and thought leaders participating. But again, we didn't collaborate across multiple spectrums of healthcare. And so we've created several consortiums and communities across the industry, but we want to bring one large one to the very big tent. So we have EHR providers, we have health IT innovators, we have payers, we have large health systems, we have doctors, we have physician practices, we have policymakers, again, and just general thought leaders in healthcare. But bringing all these different constituencies together to collaborate and break down silos, work on best practices. What are we learning in the trenches? This is all direct from the front lines of healthcare. What we say is directly and unscripted from the front lines of healthcare. And it is, and we're taking it on the chin times, and we're learning together, but we figured, you know what, come together, let's share our ideas. We've covered every topic from virtual care to value-based care to consumerism to connected health. And again, I'm going to touch on today innovation in care collaboration and care collaboration models that are successful and strategies that can be successful. To give you an idea of just a few of the collaborators, there's been over 150 that are part of the think tank. Every time we have about 50 to 60 people come together. And again, all thought leaders, all deep collaborators, people who really, we may compete in different aspects of the industry, but we lay all of our swords at the door and we all come together and represent our stakeholder groups. And again, look for common ground and look for best practices. So organizations like Partners Healthcare out of Boston, Northwell Health out of New York, UPMC out of Pittsburgh, Thomas Jefferson out of Philly, University of Virginia, Duke, Resurgence, Christus, BU, Boston University, Pratt Regional Medical Center, Nemaha County, Florida Association of ACOs, Reliant Medical Group, Nemours Children's, Dartmouth Hitchcock, Sturdy Memorial Hospital, Phoenix Children's Hospital, Lima Memorial, Ohio Health, Halifax, and just, you know, dozens more of health systems and practices. But then some of the other innovators, such as Intel and Qualcomm and McKesson and Meditech and Cerner and Allscripts and CPSI, NextGen, Change Healthcare, Practice Fusion, CDW, Cure for You, Hip Nation, Livongo Health, just tons, Call9, Lenovo Health, my company, Justin Barnes Advisors, Elevation Health, Studio North. So just a handful of organizations, Med Allies, UNC, University of Chapel Hill, Rex Health Ventures. But again, just a great deep collaboration, a lot of great institutions that have sent their thought leaders and their mind share to us. We're greatly appreciative for all of their time and their investment. So a lot of this, again, comes from all from the front lines of healthcare. We're learning together. We're in this together. And actually, we have another one coming up. We have our fifth think tank coming up. Well, we're at HIMSS 19 in Orlando here in a few weeks. So very excited about that. And we'll have a great set of key takeaways to take from that as well as we tackle some really big topics around disruptions, cost transparency, quality transparency. So get ready for that. But diving in now to a couple of the topics. The very first one, again, today we're going to cover collaboration. So it's advances in care collaboration and care models for improved outcomes. That's my first set of takeaways and best practices I'm going to cover. And then after that, I'm going to cover innovation, really ramping up for the future of care with IT, innovation technology. So starting off on the care collaboration front, one of the very first key takeaways is as these health systems, and again, we've had every size, we've had one doc practices all the way up to, 5,000 bed facilities, 6,000 bed facilities, part of our think tank. But this is what we've kind of been able to coalesce around is ensure your organizations, the very first one is ensure your organization is designing innovative care plans with an eye towards the future, but also ensure you balance with how you get paid and reimbursed today. So really create a glide path from where reimbursement is today, what your organization can handle, you know, what really can you as a team implement, what do your payers offer, what's available through your private payers or through CMS or even Medicaid, so Medicare, Medicaid, and what the private payers might offer you. And then obviously, again, looked at what's available to you in the future, what can your organization sustain and support, but then also where's your reimbursement coming today? We've just seen numerous examples of where people got ahead of their skis a little bit and implemented programs, but didn't keep enough eye on the cash flow for today. And that got them a little bit sideways financially. And sometimes that can be very detrimental, but most people do a good job at this. But again, it's a best practice that we'd like to start with is don't bite off too much, understand what's available to you, what can your organization support, not just through resources, but through your technology stack, your innovation, and competency. And in available time. It's not just about layering more onto current workloads, it's how can we reorganize workloads? How can we alleviate certain other projects to add on these new projects? How can we bring in the right mind share to help us, the right expertise to help us navigate these new models? And then always look at new models that are coming down the road. Always stay in close contact with Medicare, Medicaid, and obviously the private payers, the BUCAs, the Blues, United, Aetna, Humana, all those different players to understand what's available in your community, what's available to you as an organization for a value-based care plan or accountable care type plan, or even a narrow network type opportunity. So lots of opportunity. And even sometimes we have organizations creating them on their own. There's a lot of health systems that have decided to just create their own networks and their own plans, certainly for their employees or maybe their community and maybe a subset. But again, understand what's available to you, what your team can handle, and then obviously what is paying you today and what you're reimbursed for today, because you just don't want to get ahead of your skis there. Also, it's important to gauge your organization's risk tolerance before engaging new care models. You know, while change and evolution is mandatory for survival, it's still important to know your culture as well as what types of change management strategies should and can be implemented. So again, it's not just what's available to you, but what can your team implement? How much change is your team up for? How much change management are you willing to invest in as an organization? And change management is a critical key success factor to doing this well and doing it right. It's not about doing the same thing and doing it just a little bit differently. A lot of these programs are really going to reassess how you implement care, where you deliver care, how you deliver care, and obviously how you're reimbursed for it and how it's quantified. So very important. And again, some organizations do this really well. They're on the front tip of the spear and they're you know, crushing it. But you know, I think 90% of the marketplace still is going through a lot of these evolutions and looking for these types of best practices. So hopefully this is able to assist you in being pragmatic on how you begin. In one of the examples from one of the largest actual orthopedic practices in the country that's part of our think tank, mentioned how they went into the bundled payments for care improvement initiative and how important it is to have the physicians on the hook, quote unquote, and bought into the overall strategy as well as the outcomes. So, and this holds true really for all bundled or value-based care programs that we certainly discussed, and most of them that I've come across out there, is you want to have the care providers on the hook for obviously payments, but also the success of the overall strategy, as well as the outcomes and tying compensation and reimbursement to those, or I'm sorry, bonuses to those outcomes. You got to make sure that you're seeing the quantifiable evidence and success, an increase in quality, obviously overall. Next best practice, research the core functionalities and capabilities for telemedicine and virtual care, and begin to integrate within your organization as well as care strategy. Here is you don't want to have a standalone virtual care strategy because that will rarely yield enough long-term value or outcomes improvement. We've seen too many organizations, small and large, that take on telemedicine or virtual care, but they do it just for one sector of a care strategy, but don't integrate it into the overall care plans. They don't have medications or notes available or charts available to care providers throughout the organization. If you're not sharing that information, then you're really putting patients at risk. You're also putting your care strategy at risk and you're putting your care team at risk. So really, when you don't have to roll out these virtual care strategies and telemedicine strategies organization wide, but you do want to have access to information. You do want to make sure that you have information integrated and access to information. Say you start off in a small segment, you still want to have access to all the medical records for that population. We don't recommend that you do roll out actually telemedicine for the entire organization right out of the gate, or a virtual care strategy right out of the gate for your entire organization, no matter how large your organization is. However, we do want access to information. We do want patient information available to the care provider, and we also want to build trust with the patient in this episode. So really having the care strategy integrated throughout the organization, so they may present in the ER, but also as they come back and just for a follow-up visit, you want to make sure those records are available later on in the organization or even in the outpatient setting if possible. That's obviously the holy grail. Some may come into the ER, it's obviously then transferred into the hospital information system, but also have it available through some type of community interoperability into, you know, you through care quality, a healthy way, or even Commonwealth Health Alliance, or just through integration. Obviously, there's several large programs and platforms that have a great community-wide interoperability platform, but really have that information available and integrate that telemedicine and or virtual care into that information stream. Again, you can start off with a smaller population until you prove the model, maybe with a 100 patients, 500 patients, 1,000 patients, or 2,000 patients. But again, have all the information available, have it integrated into the overall care strategy, and certainly as it develops, enlarge it, and hopefully you're proving a lot of success there and seeing great value in that. Because you do want to begin to ensure that you have virtual care within your organization. No matter how large or small, virtual care is here to stay, and it can be a real asset to your organization. But again, you want to build trust with your patients as well. That was one of the consumerism best practices that we covered during our last radio show and also in our most recent think tanks. So the next key takeaway on care collaboration, and this integrates in well with consumerism as well, but pay close attention to the Alexa factor within your organization. It is not hype. It is real. It's what we say is voice first, but not voice only. And there's a lot of opportunity here for interacting with artificial intelligence or AI or natural language processing, NLP, to increase bandwidth and efficiency of your organization and your care strategy. Alexa and natural language processing can help getting valuable data into systems much more quickly. I personally use it on a daily basis for my work. It allows me to be much more efficient when I'm documenting or doing work even across in the office or even outside the office, even on a personal level. So I certainly recommend people look at the Alexa factor, look at natural language processing. How can it assist you? It's also a great enabler of patient education as well as patient empowerment. Dr. Jack up at the Boston University School of Medicine does a phenomenal job with his innovations using natural language processing, using artificial intelligence, and even augmented reality in a lot of his work, really reducing readmission rates, educating patients, reducing the cost of care, and also increasing the quality of care, and also significantly increasing patient satisfaction. So Dr. Jack is part of our think tank, did a lot of great work. And there's also a lot of great products out there that are HIPAA compliant now that use NLP. Orbita is a great product out there as part of our think tank as well. Done a very good job creating some HIPAA compliant solutions that are Alexa enabled and natural language processing enabled. Another outcomes best practice for overall best results and outcomes, physicians along with the care team should lead outcomes discussions and then the quality board reviews. That was one of the aspects that came up in our most recent think tank, was to ensure you are engaging the physicians, that they're engaged in the discussions, and they help create these strategies along with the care team, and then you bring them over to the quality board. But you want to make sure the physicians and the care teams are bought into it. Another best practice around successful ACO programs are finding that front desk and office staff can make a significant positive impact with patient engagement, education, empowerment, understanding, and overall success. So ensure that we are educating our front desk staff, we're utilizing them, because they also will ensure your patients get much more engaged. It's not always about the physicians or the nurses trying to engage the patients. You can use front desk staff and office staff to help support that, support the patients, get the patients also using technology and innovations for patient engagement, again, education, empowerment, understanding. I promise you, it'll help your success. And also share those incentives. When you get paid, you get bonuses. It shouldn't just go to the executives and other pools. Really, we found a best practice inside the think tank is incentivize and compensate your front desk staff or even your frontline staff that are helping get the patients engaged with these tech and innovation models. Everyone should have a stake in a model's success or failure. So I highly recommend that you ensure that compensation and that money flow, certainly when you're seeing success. Share it with everybody. You'll get much more buy-in over time. Another key takeaway that we want to keep an eye on, and this has come up in our past three think tanks, is you must keep an eye on physician burnout. It's a growing topic in the industry. People are very aware of it. And one of the aspects mentioned in our think tank was measuring physician burnout by how much time they spend in documentation, such as the EHR, above what they get paid for. How much extra time are they spending due to documentation and or the EHR? And some people are finding 2 to 2.5 hours extra in documentation, and that's really leading to large burnout rates. I think the national average, according to Medscape in 2018, was 42% of physicians are experiencing burnout, and 12% are expressing feelings of depression. So that's a little scary. And then those numbers are dramatically up in the last 5 years. So something to really keep a close eye on. I know we are as an industry. Another best practice that we've been working on is that for people, when you're buying innovation and you're looking to buy it, it's essential to establish outcomes improvements in the reimbursement strategy before you purchase equipment. Understand why you're buying it, what kind of improvements you can expect or reimbursements you should expect, because you really want to generate and monetize the ROI, and also hold people accountable. That's one thing that I've been really pushing in the last decade in the industry, because I'm on the innovation side. I love innovation. I support it very heavily. I create a lot of it. However, I want my customers holding me accountable to the success. I can't be 100%, but I am an actor in that transition. I'm in that success factor, and I want to be accountable. There's gonna be lots of people accountable. Physicians will be accountable, hospitals and administration will be accountable, but your vendors need to be accountable as well. So keep a very close eye on that. And also, and I mentioned this briefly previously, but another success best practice is focus on target populations. Certainly, when you bring on some new innovations in technology, you don't necessarily want to roll it out. And you might, depending upon the technology and innovation, you may want to roll it out hospital-wide or practice-wide. But also, if you can focus on certain use cases or populations, that's usually a good place to start. For example, we've seen a lot of great success in readmission risks and in home health eligibility for some of the ROI, and decreasing 30-day readmission rates is a usually a good enough incentive to invest in monitoring, remote monitoring technology. And we saw a lot of that in our think tank. So again, look for the right ROI, hold vendors accountable, make sure that you have tangible results that you're seeking. And you should do very well, certainly if the use cases are there. Data best practices is another great one that we covered. Capturing and creating valuable data and looking at trends, making sure data is actionable. And you want to make sure that you're creating as much interoperability of data, and you're capturing it, and you're capturing discrete data for reporting. And one of the big aspects that came up is look to connect these plethora of apps and devices with our EHRs, because these EHRs are very strong, powerful repositories, and we really want to look to use APIs where applicable. APIs can really assist with security, scale, and reducing the cost of interoperability. But connect those apps, get them into repositories, collecting this discrete data, hopefully connecting them with the EHRs. We have a lot of data in our institutions, but again, we got to look to ensure they're connected to our repositories, and we're really looking at actionable next steps with this data. This data is very valuable, and that's something that really came up in our think tanks, is the amount of data that we're collecting, but really looking to see how we can utilize it and monetize it in some cases, you know, for certainly to improve outcomes and increase care. Another best practice in the care collaboration side, and this is certainly for health innovators and vendors out there, is really looking at not hacking together solutions, but really look at how we can integrate technologies and how we can integrate workflows. It's not about bolting on all the time, but really look at the entire platform. How can we integrate through APIs? And also, how can we integrate and create more efficiencies and really simplify workflows? There's a lot of great ideas out there, a lot of great innovations, but it disrupts and breaks workflows. And that's what a lot of our health systems have been coming to us and talking about. Hey, they love these new technology innovations, but it cannot get in the way of their workflows. It cannot disrupt them. We've got to create efficiencies, and efficiencies at scale. And that's just something that we got to look at as an industry and as innovators, that we do not create disparate technologies and we do not disjoint workflows. As an innovator and a developer, here's one of the best practices. You may have a great technology, but if people aren't using it, you've missed the mark. You must integrate workflows. You must make it simpler for staff to use. Another best practice for innovators and vendors is, if you're gonna fail, fail fast, fail cheaply, and fail safely. It's healthcare. Not everything's gonna be perfect, but you cannot fail in a dangerous setting. And so really do test these out. Test this in our usability labs, and really make sure we get that right. So really, that's about all I can cover today. We will come up our next think tank. We focus on much more on innovation and a lot of the best practices we've been able to call from our innovation that supports the future of care. But those are high level of what we covered. Again, those are a lot of the collaborative care platform innovations and best practices and key takeaways from our most recent think tank. So again, I hope everybody has a chance. If you want, you can always check out our URL and our website. It's www.healthinnovationthinktank.com. Again, that's www.healthinnovationthinktank.com. And we'll have all of our case studies, white papers being published there all the time. We'll have all of our most recent best practices and key takeaways published out there as well. So please go out there and check it out. And also, again, if you're going to be at HIMSS 19, please ensure you check out our radio show broadcasting February 12th from 1 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. And you can listen live at thisjustinradio.com. So again, check out thisjustinradio.com. So we're actually at time. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific to hear our latest shows. As always, you can track me and on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, my shows are posted at Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. Thanks, everyone. Please, and have a terrific week. And check us out at HIMSS 19 if you're going to be there. Thank you.